Everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. We're in for a really big show. I'm Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I am not Cheryl Catherine Smith, but I am Ash Riot.
She is the Riot of Ash.
Yes. That is me.
That'd be good for a...
the Riot of Ash?
That'd be good for a band title, you know, someone sort of playing off of a volcano.
That would be
the Riot
quite
of
cheesy.
Ash. Sounds like a metal band.
Quite cheesy, kind of like, yeah, some black metal. Some black metal band or something.
Do you think you would like to be in a black metal band, Ash?
I could probably do it, because I know how to play that style of music really well, but because I have to teach a lot of kids those songs.
I know you do.
So, but mostly, I'm so happy to teach kids black metal. I would be thrilled to teach black metal forever if it means I didn't have to do any more pop music. And, like, how many times have I had to tell kids, like, there is almost no guitar in things like,
that's,
you
true,
know, Justin
eh?
Bieber,
yeah,
and
it's all electronica.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
Keyboards.
Yeah, exactly.
Drum machines,
I
loops.
Mean, it's even hard to teach bass to those
samples.
Songs because it's like the bass is so textured and synthesized, so.
I love the bass, and that's why I'm playing the bass.
You do a great job.
I love the bass.
She got a really nice new bass.
I got
in
a
Music
beautiful
Man.
Bass, and thank you, Ash, for being my bass teacher.
Yes, you're welcome.
Best teacher in the world.
Thank you.
Yeah, playing by ear, where I'm going to embark on being the hologram bassist.
It will be
so
fun.
So now the hardest thing for me to do is to play my parts and sing lead. That's what I...
I think you'll
succeed.
That's
what I have to iron out the bugs with.
She'll succeed. It'll take some time. I mean, one of the hardest things is, like, you have it easy playing bass. Playing drums and singing is a lot harder.
Yeah.
I can't really do it very well.
I admire drummers who
yeah.
sing.
Like, my
yeah.
dad can do it really well.
It's pretty awesome.
Speaking of fun things like playing music.
Well, today, what is today? First of all, we are live. If you're listening to us today, which is... June 29th, Sunday.
June 29th.
Right now, it's June 29th, Sunday. We're embarking on celebrating Canada Day and Independence Day for the States as of next week. We've got a couple of holidays coming up. So this is our last show prior to those holidays.
Yeah.
But speaking of, you were getting into it.
Oh, speaking of fun... The topic of the show is Spun Fun of Everyone.
Yeah!
Instead of Spun Sun. We've been wanting to talk about the importance and the balance of, you know, having fun and being really professional. I have a lot of friends who tell me, like, you obviously have no life. And they've told me that because, you know, I can't really just, you know, take time, drive downtown, see them or whatever. Because, well, I have to be back at work for early afternoon, and then I work right till sometimes 9 or 10. So it doesn't really leave me a lot of time to do things. However, I really feel that it's important to make time to do those things. And Cheryl and I were talking about wanting to talk about fun.
Yeah, the importance of it. I'm just going to read the blurb.
Read it.
We have a website, for those of you who aren't aware of it. It is hollow-gram.com. And you can read about our radio shows on our main website, which is hollow-gram.com. And this is the blurb that we posted a while ago. I don't know. I don't remember the day. But it says, tonight's show is called Spun Fun of Everyone. And here we're going to discuss the importance of all of us having fun in our lives and the balance between serious and the non-serious. The nonsensical. So many of us lose sight of play. No matter what our age is, play is vital to our emotional, our spiritual, our mental, and our physical well-being. So let's play with play.
Let's.
I think it's the reason why we're mentioning it, doesn't matter what age you are, I think it's vitally important that all ages, whether you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, that incorporate some sense of play in their lives for balance, just for a sense of, to bring contentment, to bring happiness, to bring joy. I had the privilege of seeing a speaker, I can't even remember who it was, and she was speaking about this topic, this is years ago, and this is what stood out to me. She said that in 24 hours, all of us have 24 hours in our days, and within that 24-hour period, she suggested the perfect balance as this: 8 hours for sleep, 8 hours for work, and 8 hours for play. So how many of us are using 8 hours in our 24-hour day for play? And I think we have to sort of define what play is, too, because play, it's a multitude of things. I would incorporate just
leisure.
Not just leisure.
Self-care, lots of stuff.
Well, yeah, self-care, leisure, meditation, prayer. I was thinking about sex, too. I was going to ask you, do you think sex is serious or play?
I have no idea how to answer that.
Let's just put sex in for play, because that's pleasure and that's part of, you know, we want that to be part of our experience in our play section. What else? You're busy texting.
No, I'm not. It's so funny. I'm not even, it's just funny. I'm like, all of a sudden you're like, and sex. I'm like, what?
That's why I didn't tell you before we came on the air. I wanted your reaction, your true reaction.
Sometimes I still think I'm like a 15-year-old who thinks he's like.
You get all blushy and shy when you get talking about sex and being. I think, yeah, that's cute. That's why maybe that was my play. I don't know. Is it mean? I don't think it's mean. I just know how you are, so I put you on the spot. How about that? Part of my play.
Yes. Well, there you go. So fun is important, and I mean, I still don't know how to follow up. First, I want to tell everyone that you should call in to our show, because, I mean, you know, there's so much that we can talk to each other about, and clearly there's a lot we can talk about, and we really, really love hearing from you, and we're really, really excited that, you know, we have people who appreciate our music. We have people who, you know, a song reaches and it means something, and that's really cool. And I want to ask Doug to please play Spun Sun, and that's where we got the idea of the show, Spun Sun Everyone, as you said.
It's
and,
also our show introduction.
Yeah, and we probably should tell everybody, because I've actually had a couple people email me and ask me in the past couple months, and I haven't gotten back to them, about our Spun Sun video. We were supposed to do a Spun Sun video.
Yeah, we advertised it, too.
We advertised it. We did promo for it. We were really, really excited.
We shot it.
And we have no idea what's going on with it.
We've kind of given up.
We've given up. We probably won't be using it because it's kind of been...
It's been almost a year, and we're not having any kind of dialogue. Unfortunately, I mean, for whatever reason... So we probably will just end up doing our own. So we apologize to you. It has nothing to do with us or our intentions. It has to do with another individual that we're working on with it, and we can't do anything about it. So there you have it.
We've tried. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, we really want to just, I don't know, feel the song, feel the energy of the song. I think that it's, you know, I never wrote it with any intention of, you know, fun, like the guitar part. I wasn't like kind of chipper, but it turned kind of into that. So
so what would you say your mood was when you actually were playing this in the studio?
When I was working on the guitar at first, I remember it just came out. Remember that? And we were in my parents' living room, and we were just strumming. I was strumming these chords, and all of a sudden you were like, yeah, we can work with this. And I don't know. It was just, I was trying to make it. I was listening to a lot of Dallas Green, who is one of the... members of Alexis on Fire. He has a side project just himself called City and Color. And I really liked a lot of the chords he was using and the chord changes. And, you know, this has nothing to do with any of his chord changes, obviously.
So it's, you haven't ripped off.
Right.
It's not about stealing something. It's about inspiration.
It was about energetic.
Cool.
And so I was just, working on, you know, kind of adding different fingers onto chords because I was inspired by that. And it came out like this. So it was almost supposed to be more thoughtful than energetic, but it's an energetic song, and I hope that you guys feel some energy from it tonight.
Yeah, here you go. Spun Sun by Holograph.
From the spun sun of everyone, putting down the loaded gun, wandering still my precious.
Show that was Spun Sun in brackets of everyone by Holograph.
That's us. We are Holograph, and in case, you know, we're gonna open the phone lines. If anyone wants to come and call us, just say hey, yo, or, you know, talk to us about the importance of fun in your lives. The number is 888-627 888-627-6008. I have not had a case of the giggles on the radio in years.
She's saying she's overtired.
888-627-6008. Call us just for the heck of it. Come on. We love you. And if you want one of our songs, let us know. We'll email you one.
I could just hear all the head thoughts going, what do you mean we love you? How do I know you? You don't even know me. Why do you love me? I don't think you love me. Who the heck are you to tell me you love me?
That's funny.
I'm bombarded.
Yep.
By thoughts. Yeah, we're talking about fun, and we're talking about the importance of fun in our lives, because especially in the North American society, I think us as a culture seem to be quite work obsessed, you know? And unfortunately, most of us in North America, a great majority of us are almost, you know, would be considered the working poor. There's so many who are working at a very low wage. And so, you know, it's almost as if it's an enslavement, a form of enslavement, because you can never really get ahead. You can never really rest. You can never really have that me time. You're just focusing on survival. And I truly believe that it's a tactic. I think that it really is a government kind of tactic. Now I'm starting to sound like I'm a conspiracy theorist, which I am not, but I certainly believe that a lot of so-called conspiracy theories have a lot of validity and truth to them if you were to delve a little bit deeper and stop just kind of just disassociating, saying that that's crazy. There's so much truth in what appears to be crazy. And I feel for everyone who is in that position, who is working, don't even feel like you're getting ahead. And then, you know, even probably the title of our show makes you go, what do you mean me time, play time? When it, you know, when I'm off work, I got to look after the kids. I got to look after the house, the apartment. I got to pay the bills. I got to do this. And then I go to sleep and get up and do it all over again. And I really feel that this is our sickness.
Well, that's why, you know, pharmaceutical companies and antidepressants,
they're
exist,
part of it.
You know, because it's, we feel like we don't have a choice when we do.
Yeah. So I, you know, for those people out there who are saying that, you know, what, I don't have time. How do we make time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's absolutely important that you make time. And I would go so far as to say that if you are working a job that is taking you away from yourself, from your connection to your highest self, your connection to all that is, your connection to spirit, God, goddess, whatever you choose to call that bigger spirit essence, the creative essence, I think that you can find something different, or I think that you can do it differently, because I'm speaking from personal experience, because I've been there too. I've been in vocations where I felt very much hindered, that my personal life suffered because of my work life. And of course, in my mind, I'm going, but I have to do it. I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do it. You know, there's that, I have to, I should, I have to. And then when you kind of step away from it and you ask yourself that pertinent question, where is this have to coming from? And where is this should? Is it sort of an old belief system that I'm kind of carrying around that doesn't really fit anymore? Is it, in my case, it's a family, first word that came to me is indoctrination. And that sounds pretty heavy, but in a way it is, because there's this family idea that I got just passed down from my family, that you're not supposed to love what you do.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, like, you know, you just have to do it. You have to work. You have to make a living. You can't, you know, you got to pull your own weight. You got to make things happen. And nobody loves their job. Just do it. And I kind of go, where the heck did you learn that?
Mm-hmm.
And why are you passing it on to me? And so a lot of these things that we've been taught, a lot of these things we've been told as we've been brought up, not only by our families, but also by the education system, by the media, by the things that surround us, these things that are telling us that you need to consume to be happy. You need to have a particular car to be happy. Some of us are striving to buy that car and we're busting our asses and causing ourselves emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical pain in doing so.
And then we get the car and it doesn't make us happy and we're like,
no,
ah,
it doesn't. One of my favorite lines is trains calling all angels. In a world where what we want is only what we want until it's ours. How intelligent is that? That's a soul intelligence that they've shared. Mm-hmm. Love that band, by the way, Train. They're very philosophical. They've got a lot of really great insight in their lyrics. And it's true. You know, we strive for things. We get these things. We bust our butts for these things. And then we have these things, and then we don't want them anymore. It's like we're on to the next striving. So how do we stop this wheel? It's like a hamster wheel of craziness. How do we stop ourselves from believing that it's our stuff that'll make us happy, that it's our dedication to our jobs when we're working 60-hour weeks plus that will make us happy? You know, a lot of us are working only for future. We're not really staying in our present. And we've recently just been a part of a very dear friend's husband's passing. And he wasn't old. He didn't plan on it. Mm-mm. You know, he was someone who was told he was terminally ill, and he quite literally had months to live.
Yeah.
And so when we kind of look at it from that perspective, when we look at it from a different way, we get out of our futures, we get out of our past, which is our old belief systems, what we've been taught that doesn't coincide with ourselves anymore. The future, which is plan, you know, for retirement, plan for this, plan for that. And I'm not saying discard planning. I'm just saying it has its place. Mm-hmm. How do we bring ourselves from the future, from the past, back into the present moment so that we can actually have some fun? That we're not feeling guilty if we're not studying, or we're not feeling guilty if we're not working, or we're not feeling guilty if we're not focusing on planning. You know, when can we let go of the planning? When can we just let the being be a part of our lives and our expression of being here on this planet in this way?
That's one of the hardest things for me to do. And I struggle with that every single day, is I have a really hard time being present every day. And I think it's because, well, there's many reasons, but I think it's because I think my job too does force me to do that. And I've kind of gotten the habit, because especially as a music teacher, I always, okay, well, this person's coming tomorrow. Okay, now that person needs this and this. Like, I can't just be in the moment. I'm always thinking towards the next day. And I guess everybody kind of has, you know, a bit of that in their job, but mine's got me into a total loop.
I think it's a little bit different when you're self-employed. Both Ash and I are self-employed, and this is the challenge for self-employed people. Either you can overwork yourself, which can, you know, because you don't have a 9-to-5 time card or a punch clock. You're basically just working at whatever hours, whenever.
Yeah.
It's important for us as self-employed and people to rein it in a little bit too, mm-hmm. right? To
really
have
important
time where we're not thinking about business or talking about business or planning about what we're going to do, what's our next strategy, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. It's really just about bringing that for ourselves. And I can understand what you're saying when you're in your moments, you're planning. That's okay. That's part of the work. So let's use that 888 formula mm-hmm. that wonderful lady that I can't remember her name brought forth to me. It might have been Norma Cowie. And for those of you who are out there listening who are friends of ours, mine in particular, then you would probably know who Norma Cowie is. Look her up. She's got some really interesting ideas. She's a speaker and a psychic medium. And I think it was Norma who said this. But anyways, how do we bring the 888 balance? And I don't think that we shouldn't kind of lock ourselves in a whole other box and shame ourselves when we're not doing the 888 every day. I think, again, it's all about balance, you know.
Yeah.
You might want to move your numbers through a couple of days. But just getting back to how do we stop the insanity around our idea that we don't really have value unless we're working at something, unless we actually succeed at whatever we're working at. And the definition of success for mainstream society, I think, is money, power. And I feel that, again, we have to turn that around too, because success is just how the individual feels. It has nothing to do with how wealthy they become as a result mm-hmm. of their work, or how powerful they become as a result of their work, or how well known. you know, they become as a result of their work. It's really a very personal thing. And I think this is imperative for us to remind ourselves that it's not a race. It's really just about us as individuals. Are we having a good time in this life? Are we enjoying our lives? Do we feel contentment in our lives? And if not, if you can answer that question honestly, if not, what is it that I need to do to change it?
Yeah, I understand.
Without looking outside yourself for validation that once you actually receive it, doesn't cut it, mm-hmm. doesn't have the impact that you expect it to have, because it really is always an internal job.
That's true. It really is. It's sometimes we pass it off really easily to the things in our lives, to the people in our lives, to the circumstances, to
you
the
mean
hobbies.
We kind of look at other things to bring
make
us happiness.
Yeah. And that happens all too much.
So we're talking about play and different ways of playing. So I mentioned a few things. I'll just say them again. I mentioned prayer, meditation, sex. I made Ash laugh, now me. Physical experiences, like getting the physical body going. Mental,
mm-hmm.
you know, playing games.
Sleep.
No, that's the other 8 hours. We're talking about play.
Oh. So that can be part of the other eight, okay?
Especially when combined with sex.
There you go.
So this is why I'm just saying, what would we distinguish as play? Like what is it in terms of the balance?
Music,
creativity. So, you know, you don't have to be an artist. You don't have to call yourself an artist. You don't have to call yourself a musician to be able to experience and express with music and with art. I think it's important that all people have some form of creative outlet. Poetry, visual art.
Anything that you like to do that isn't part of work is considered that.
Play.
Yeah. Don't you think? We just looked at each other in silence and went, what?
No, you know what I was thinking as I was looking at you, as I was going, anything that's not work or not sleep is play. Is it that simple? Is it really that simple?
Yes, and that's why it's so weird that we have it so backwards.
Gardening. There's another really wonderful thing.
Oh, I can't stand gardening.
Yeah, but connecting with the earth.
I kill them by accident. I don't even know what I do. When plants see me coming, they die willingly.
Time in nature. You don't even have to do anything. Just sit under a tree.
I like
go
to
for
sit
a nature walk. Go hang out by the ocean.
That's fun.
Go get an ice cream.
Wow. All these things, I think about it, and I go, okay, it's really not that hard to have a bit of leisure. Why do we deny ourselves that? Because I deny myself that.
Well, then you share why you think you deny it. Because it's probably the same answer that most people out there have.
Nope. Because I don't have enough time in a day.
That's how most people feel.
Yeah, okay, they do, yeah.
That's how most people feel. We feel like, you know, you hear this. People go, oh, man, if only I had like 30 hours in a 24-hour day, I just need that extra 6 hours. And then I think, well, yeah, okay, give you the extra 6, and you would just think you need 36.
Exactly.
And then you have 36, and you need 42. It's always up, 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 up.
Yep, always.
And time to me is so irrelevant in some ways. I mean, it's a constraint that we have while we're here in the physical world, but it's something that moves around a lot for me personally. And for those of you out there who have that experience, that time will actually at points feel like it's stretching, and then time at points will feel like it's actually becoming smaller. I get both those experiences quite often.
Well, for me, it's just time seems like a friend and it seems like a foe. Because I really do, like, I have this paranoia, and it's always been there. And since I was a little kid, and I always had this paranoia, and I knew that I knew why I had the paranoia from a young age, because I knew what it would feel like intuitively, that as soon as I get to a certain age, it's going to feel like it goes way too fast. And I knew that from when I was like 3. So I savored so many moments, and while that's good, I savored it because I'm paranoid that I'm going to lose everything. This is like therapy. Everyone's going to think I'm nuts now.
Doesn't matter. You know, we're all nuts. We're all nuts and we're all not nuts. I mean, it's just sort of, It's all truth. It's true, as you age, time seems to speed up. I think I've heard a lot of people, as you know, express this with age. I think we also find ways to fill our time up. Another thing for fun.
What?
Playing on your phone.
That's true. I was just looking at the time on my phone.
Playing your games.
Yeah, playing Words with Friends.
As long as you don't become addicted.
Okay, that's a little late. Everyone is addicted to their phones. And it's really weird. I think that, too. Like, I don't know, I had this thought that so many people are going to be really, really upset. Really, thoroughly upset that phones exist. I think in about 30 years, people are going to rebel against them.
I agree with you. I think it's going to go from we are such a technologically dependent society to where we will actually reject it.
People are going to get sick of it in its highest forms.
Uh-huh.
I really do, because phones and stuff, they're fun to play games on, but I mean, I miss video games, like real video games.
But you still have them and you still play them.
But I don't. I don't really, because we have the ones on our phones. And, you know, I think that there's probably a lot of different, I was thinking about that the other day, like even, well, for me, fun is making mixtapes and mix CDs, right? That's my favorite thing to do. And a lot of my students have had my mixtapes, and my friends and people around the world, I just
and
love to
fans,
make them.
And her fans, too. She's the coolest. Like, when she had her album out, and they had all these, you know, people were writing you and whatnot, and you actually were just very gracious, saying, hey, I'll make you a mixtape.
It's fun.
People across the world, and you're sending a mixtape. You are very sweet and generous that way.
Oh, thank you.
You're very sweet and kind.
Thank you.
Very, very giving.
But that's what I love to do, and I forgot what I was going to say. Something about mixtapes. Oh, yeah. Technology. I just think that it's really quite sad that it's so hard for bands to be legitimate and to be honest nowadays, because they all seem to me like salesmen and saleswomen and salespeople. Because you have to be. Like, back then, it was just out of pure passion. Of course, hard work, but nothing like it is now, because what's there to show for it besides internet? I miss the days where you had to literally put your own cassette out and play shows to get people to notice. You didn't have download codes, you didn't have iTunes, you couldn't just, you know, put your stuff all over the internet. So it's a tool, but it's such a bad tool as well. It takes a lot of the integrity out of it for me, and I feel like I'm really jaded and negative towards the music scene right now, but I'm really happy that there's like almost a 90s revival happening.
Yes.
I mean, even Babes in Toyland coming back. We saw Veruca Salt last week in Seattle, which was amazing.
Yeah,
that was
awesome.
So amazing. That was just brilliant.
Well done, ladies and gentlemen.
And we really, really, really would love to see that happen for more bands where it's, you know, we find a way to dominate the radio again. Where it's not LMFAO and it's not, you know, whoever else.
Katy Perry
and everything. And while those artists are talented, it's just, there's room for them, but we need to make room for real, man-made, passionate music again. Punk rock, and in its form, like not even punk music, but just the ethics of it, that's what needs to...
The essence of punk.
Yeah, it needs to come back.
Needs to come back. And that's what we want to do. We got a little bit of punk in us, a little bit of grunge, a little bit of alternative, a little bit of pop. I mean, it's hard, you know, there's the pop formula in terms of songwriting. See, that's one of our plays in terms of our 8 hours. If we could actually do 8 hours a day of music, that'd be awesome. It doesn't happen, but in any way, if we can be creative, whether it's writing music, playing our instruments, singing, writing poetry that we can transcribe to lyrics. This whole thing about the music scene, what you're talking about, Ash, and just, I understand why you feel jaded. I feel like I've been on the other side of it too, because your album came out 2005, your solo album. Mine came out 2009, spring.
Look at how fast the times went.
I know, and just trying to even promote it as an indie artist, and I understand the whole concept of cream rises to the top and on, but a lot of times I also relate not only ourselves, but other artists who are perhaps listening and struggling or feeling like, man, you know, will anybody ever hear my stuff? Really, we do it for us. Ultimately, first and foremost, for me, being an artist, it feels like it's something that I have to do. It's like if I were to have a computer chip ingrained, you know, somehow inserted into me when I was born, creativity was part of my chip. So it's something I have to do in order to feel normal for me. I have to be creative. I have to create. And but when I'm creating work, for me, it's more about connection. It's not just about self-indulgence. I'm not creating something just to make myself feel good. This is how I am as an artist. I'm creating for connection because I'm trying to convey an idea. I'm trying to convey a thought form, a sense of feeling, a sense of something that others would see and understand and relate to. That's how I create.
I understand that.
I was thinking, too, there's so many artists that I've studied, and not all of them had what we would see or understand as success in their lifetimes. It came after. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think it really is just about doing the best, doing it because you are a creative artist. You're creating. You do the best
and
you can.
And it doesn't matter what people think as to why you're doing it.
No, but the thing is now, being an indie artist now, the thing is that, you know, we have our songs out there. You've got your first album out. I've got my second album, my first album out. We've got the Hologram songs out. But we don't really, you don't see money coming back.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, this is what a lot of people are in the, musicians are complaining about, you know, that there's all these illegal downloads and on, but it's kind of a trade-off in a way. Like, you're going, mm-hmm. okay, well, I'm glad someone's listening to it.
Exactly.
And getting something out of it, hopefully, making them feeling, whether they feel good about listening to music or they're being provoked to think more about themselves or about the world or their place in it. But really, it would be wonderful for all of us to do what we love and to
feel supported.
Feel supported not only by others in doing it, but that's not always the case as an artist. You have to really have thick skin and be pretty self-dependent, like independent. But also have the ability to make your way in this world, because we all need to live. And living in this world means we need finances to fund our living.
And that's where it gets complicated, because a big part of me would be happy if someone downloaded our song 30,000 times and we didn't even see a penny. I'd be so happy in a way, because I'd know that at least people are getting the song, spreading the song. You know, maybe opportunities will come from it getting into the right ears. But then I think, well, we worked really hard and we deserve something. So that's why musicians are in such a tough place nowadays. I think a lot of different businesses are just declining. And it's because of technology. It's because of different things. And I don't know. I don't know where musicians are right now.
Well, I know where we are, and I know my experience in it. And the thing that I was going to say when you had spoken about the internet, I think it's really important. It's an important tool. It's an
mm-hmm.
important tool,
oh,
but,
for sure.
But it all, you know, it's. It means that because there's no regulations, which I'm happy there isn't, quite frankly, but due to the fact that we don't have, like, Big Brother regulating it, whoever you want to call Big Brother, so much gets, it's kind of like an oversaturation, and most people don't know where to look. I mean, it's word of mouth. If someone catches on to something, that's how YouTube videos explode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, word of mouth. People share, because it has some kind of impact that is very culturally cross-generational, cross-cultural. You know, it sort of impacts the world.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything gets seen.
Yeah.
It just takes, you know, one thing to get seen or get heard, and then the right person who, you know, just pass it on to the next person. I don't really... What I was really trying to get at is, you're talking about, you become like salesmen, and that's kind of how I felt when I was shopping my first that album. it's hard for me because I don't want to have to sell myself.
Yeah, that's the biggest part.
I want someone to get it. And if they don't get it, that's okay. And if they do get it, it's kind of like, it's like this consensual relationship in terms of human species understanding each other, having similar experiences, getting it, someone getting you as an artist.
Well, being a DJ is the same kind of thing. It's like you have to sell your product. And I don't want to think of anything that I creatively work on as product.
Our product as DJs is us.
Mm-hmm.
Our product as musicians is our music. That's the
and
difference.
And unfortunately, us in a way, too.
Well, of course, yeah, because when they start telling and talking to you about image and everything else,
yeah.
Yes. But it's different. It's different. And I, as an artist, don't feel... This is why artists have managers and promotions people and public relations people and on and on. Because it's so much better when someone else can say, hey, she's great. You got to listen to her. You know, she's mm-hmm. got style. She's got substance. But if you're going, hey, I'm great. You got to listen to me. I've got style. I've got substance. Most people just automatically are offended in some way, or they think, well, aren't you a little braggart?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's...
So that's why it's so hard being an indie artist, because, you know, you have... I've had some people actually... I've asked them to kind of write some stuff for me because I don't want it to sound like I'm just blowing my own horn. But most indie artists, we're trying to sell ourselves. And this is the thing. It doesn't feel right. So I don't do it anymore. I'm not. I mean, I think about it sometimes. I go, oh, my God, you know, all that stuff I learned about indie artists and how to be an indie artist and how to, you know, self-promotion, you know, be shameless, on and on. All these things that are going on floating around in my head. And I'm going, no, it doesn't feel right.
Well, that's...
And then I'm telling myself I'm an idiot because I'm not going to go anywhere because I'm not doing that. But then there's that part of me, it's about being authentic. It's going, well, oh, well, maybe I'll be one of those artists that once I pass, people will get it. You know, but it really just matters about our lives now. And for us, we're talking about creativity as part of our play. We're sharing a little bit of the business. So some of us, it seeps in. For those of you who have your work that kind of seeps into your creative play, because that's very much our lives. We're musicians. We're DJs. We do it for a living, and we do it for our pleasure, for our 8 hours of fun in the day. So, you know, it's kind of being able to differentiate. What's the difference between the two?
Well,
one is without expectation, right, I think. The other is with.
Well, I think that, I don't even remember now, I had a point when you were saying before. I think that there has to be a shedding of certain expectations. I think there has to be a shedding of, just needing things to be a certain way in order to get to your next. It's kind of like I'm looking at a map and I'm saying, okay, you've passed this stage and you can go to stage two. And, you know, finally when you pass all those levels and you can go to stage three, it's like sometimes I just feel as though, you know, I don't necessarily want to go that way, but there's one bridge and I want to dig my own moat and go another way all the way to stage seven and I don't have to pass each level. It's like Mario, right? Like, I just want to go where I want to go. I don't like doing a whole bunch of the steps. It makes music not fun. I don't like dealing with people. I don't.
There's some honesty.
I really don't. I don't like dealing with I like people. I don't like dealing with other egos because I think as musicians, I think what any field you're in, there should be more of a sense of camaraderie than competition.
Yes.
And so, I mean, music, I'm just going to be blatantly honest. I love music. I don't like being a musician in the community. I don't. I really don't. I want to stay. I want to be secluded. I want to. I really want to be a hermit. And I'm serious. Like, I'm totally just saying, like, all these things that I really feel. And I don't care. I'll go out and play a show. But I don't want to have to be on the internet 100 hours a week saying, hey, you, check out my band. And I have so much respect for people who do. I have nothing but respect for people who do. And more power to you, because that means you believe in what you're doing. But it doesn't necessarily make me not believe in what I'm doing. I want people to be able to coexist with whatever level, just like you were saying, you know, people are allowed to rest and, you know, not feel guilty about that. It's kind of like I have my own process and I should be allowed to have my own process without somebody saying, well, you know, you have all these tools available to you and you're not using it, you're wasting it. No, I'm just coming at my, I'm using my creativity and experiencing my creativity the way it feels right to me. So I've been thinking a lot about that lately, so I'm glad we have a show I can vent about it.
That's really cool. You know, this is not only the Hologram Radio Show that we share our thoughts and our points of view with you and welcome yours as well. We also use it for therapy.
Yeah, free therapy. So if any of you have felt the same or just have a bit of bitterness towards the expectations of artistry. Oh, speaking of artistry, I want to actually plug a band. One of my best friends is in a band. His name's Connor, and the band's called Of Artistry. And they just released an album yesterday, or they're ready, and they're kind of distributing them a little bit. And just flawless, you know, layers, textures. It's beautiful. So if you guys should all just type Of Artistry into your internet browser and check some of their songs out. Check them up on YouTube. Their newest single, I think, is called Our Story. Or no, The
is
Project.
Is that Connor's?
Their first single is called The Project, and their album is called Our Story. So go check them out and tell them I sent you.
That's a shout-out for Connor.
Connor.
We love you, Connor. Very talented young man.
Yeah, and a few of the other musicians in the band were actually my students and friends as well. So
look at that. Yeah. Ash Riot has taught, so now they are going to succeed.
There you go. Thank you.
We have some Twitter. It's sweet. Did you see it?
Yeah, he's very sweet.
Yes. So thank you, Woody's.
He says he gets it too.
I know. Yeah. Thank you, Woody's alter ego. First tweet was saying that we need to tour. The world needs us. Well, thank you. And then you just said you want to be a hermit.
Yeah.
And Woody also said all your songs are Grammy worthy. Thank you so much for that. You're
and he
very
said, "Think Letterman."
Sweet. We will. It's not that we're not thinking lofty thoughts because
we've been really busy.
We have been really busy, and I don't even like the word busy. I like full. Our lives have been really full. There's, you know, the stuff I can't stand, like regular living stuff, like taxes and bill paying.
I hate vacuuming, and I'm so happy that you've been doing taxes and stuff. I haven't had to like help you vacuum and help you. Yeah,
you know that stuff gets in the way, like especially for creative people like us. Man, oh man! Like I wish, you know, can you do this for me? Because I just want to create, but that's not the reality. The reality is I've got to clean my own toilets and I got to write, you know, do my own taxes, and yeah. So this stuff I call it the mundane, and it's really tough for me. That to me is my work. So my work when I'm doing stuff I don't necessarily like that, is mundane. But when I'm working even as a DJ, it's also, you know, it is work. It's not something that, oh, hey, I'm having a great time. I mean, I do have good times, but there's times when it's not so great and it's very stressful. And it ties in with what we do. I mean, being DJs, we're musicians, so it's really beautiful to be able to kind of have a job that ties in and can help us, you know, with our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, it's kind of weird because I was just thinking about it. It's like, you know how we were talking about bands that... my last thing about music.
All right, no, go ahead.
I really feel this way. Lately, I've been totally feeling... I feel like everyone's listening to me just vent. I've been feeling like what we're doing does not fit in anywhere. Seriously. Like, we are not the screamo band. We are not the, you know, pop band. We are not the rock and roll band. We're so different. And I don't say that with ego. I say that with WTF. I don't understand what we're doing, but I like it. So I'm hoping that this 90s revival comes back because we might have a chance. But otherwise, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I mean, that's news to me.
I mean that in a
as
good
your
way.
Bandmate. But hey, it's cool. And whatever you're feeling.
I mean that in a good way because I think that people are going to be hungry for something different. So I think that, you know, I think that even if 90s revival, whatever, we're a different band. We don't, you know, we're dealing with a lot of different things that, you know, a band who looks all like their cookie cutter friends or whatever.
Yeah.
We're very different in that. I mean, our ages are different. We, you know, aren't, I don't know, just, I don't see myself as marketable. I think you're marketable, but I don't know.
What's marketable?
I'm weird.
Don't even say that.
But you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Marketable is like the weirdest way to say it, but
because we're not 19-year-old, 100-pound.
Yeah. Total, you know.
Lots of makeup, pop top.
That's what I love about Veruca Salt, though. They're so
little thong. We can wear our thong for our album cover.
What's cool about Veruca Salt, I was telling Cheryl, is that they are beautiful women, and they're just not about just exposing their bodies to sell their music.
That's where I'm at, too. I definitely don't want sex in the band to have to sell the band. I don't feel that that's something. I mean, there's such a double... It just doesn't. It doesn't work for me. I mean, it really bothers me.
It's not fun
when women are, you know, they're musicians, they're singers, and then they also have to put the sex on top of it and show their bodies. And I mean, I've been a model. I know what it. I know all about that stuff. I've been there, and I, you know,
I was a child model.
Yeah, you were. She was a child model. She won awards, but But it always felt wrong for me. I always, even as a model, something didn't quite sit right with me. Why is it that we as women musicians are expected to have the bonus of sexual appeal and the men aren't really doing it?
This argument is the exact reason why bands like Bikini Kill and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Bratmobile, they existed because they were basically like the anti-heroes.
They were still kind of looking pretty sexy too with their little bathing suit things and their baby doll dresses.
But they were not giving permission to be, let's just say, exposed and dissected. It's like they were doing that for them, and there was a political reason behind it. If you know Kathleen
I
had
understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like it's not just hey, look at me so you can buy my records. It's listen to what's really happening, and you know we're going to use this. For change.
Yeah, so I mean it's not saying I don't have sex appeal, so I'm bitching that why do women in the music business have to have sex appeal. I'm not saying that at all, because it's not, you know, so it's not sour grapes here. It's just about taking a look at, are we selling ourselves or are we selling what we're creating? And are we selling ourselves in terms of our talent, you know, because our talent has nothing to do with our bodies. Our talent is separate from our bodies.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are. We're Hologram. We're on the internet. We haven't done any live shows other than one. We've been mostly focusing on recording and writing. We're ready to do more, but we're also kind of, it's strategizing.
It's not about needing to get out there now and do this. It's waiting, watching, and working.
It's about being patient and being mindful of what presents itself and not pushing it. I think that's the thing. And I know there's a lot of different ideas, and I've been there. I've been a part of it. I've listened to all sorts of public speakers and motivational speakers and on and on and on.
We got another one from Bob.
What did we get?
He said the Beatles were different and the Sex Pistols were different.
That's true. And we love the Beatles and we love the Sex Pistols. And we are different too, and it's all good. And it's really just about, no matter who you are, is having faith and trust in your own self and having faith and trust in your own place and not ever feeling desperate. Like that sense of desperation of having to make something happen. And that's really what I'm getting at is, the way I see the band, the way I see this whole project is really different from how I saw my solo stuff. Because the way I see this band is, it's chill. It's like, we'll create, and it will happen when it's meant to happen. And in the way that it is. And all we have to do is be ready.
And just because And just because we're chill and we're, you know, but of course we still have huge ambition. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're not committed.
No, exactly. We're super committed. We believe in ourselves. We believe in our music. We believe in our place in the world. So we're committed completely 110% there. It's just not about having to hang on really tightly to the outcome. It's just a sense of release.
Giving up control.
Exactly. Giving up control and just being available, being creative, creating, recording. Being open to whatever presents itself and saying yes to it. Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, we're fine. Everybody's fine. We're all good.
Do what makes you happy.
And that's part of your fun. That's part of your play. So sometimes your fun and play can transcribe to something that makes you money, which is a really nice bonus because, for example, I DJed a wedding last night, and they were talking about how the bride had these multitudes of business ideas as she was growing up. And one of them was she created special wallets for servers because she was a waitress. And so she created these special wallets and was selling them. So she basically, out of a need, she needed a special kind of wallet for herself, for her serving needs. And it became a business for her because everybody goes, hey, I like that, you know, and she makes
That's
them
really
one.
Cool.
And then, so, you know, a lot of times when you're being creative, and you know, you're letting that creative energy flow in your playtime, it can actually transcribe to being something that can bring you financial support. So this is another
really cool
thing about your play. Your play can actually go into the business. And I know a lot of people that their play has gone into their business.
That's really neat.
So, yeah, so, hey, I don't know if you guys like that 8-8-8 formula, but if you've got 8 hours for sleep, 8 hours for fun, and 8 hours for work, pretty good balanced life, make sure you have fun. Self-care. We're ending our show pretty soon, but yeah, we didn't talk about self-care much. We got into the band.
Just self-care,
our own play.
Self-care at people.
Well, yeah, make sure you take care of yourselves. Give yourselves time for meditation. Give yourself time for detoxing baths with Epsom salts and with lavender oil and with baking soda. Put that together. Detox yourself. Relax. Take yourself to a masseuse. Get a massage. Get a spa, mani-pedi. Even if you're a man, do it. Just take care of yourself. So all of these are part of your play. And hopefully all of us can find balance, that we feel that our lives have meaning, have direction, and are fulfilling. So with that, we love you. Kiss a tree.
We love you very much, friends.
Happy Canada Day and happy Independence Day this week, everybody. Goodbye.